how blessed you are until your life gets shattered. I was spoiled but didn't know it until I learned what mattered. I found myself complaining about this stuff, my mind was scattered. The internet is too slow. I'm about to lose my manners.
Yay.
These petty issues that I let contaminate my thinking while I'm trying to calculate all of my blessings that come from above.
Okay.
Give it to me and they fit like a glove.
Come on, son.
So I count my blessings like a mathematician. That'll keep me loaded with the ammunition. When the fiery darts of the devil hit my position, I learned to live by gratitude in every condition.
Okay.
Turn to your neighbor and say, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Well, I am thankful for you this morning, and I send you greetings from Harding University and from the West Pleasure, yes, Harding University and West Pleasure Church of Christ. In Searcy, where I serve as a professor and I serve as a preacher. And I'm so thankful for Jonathan and for the invite. This is my first time actually preaching at Pleasant Valley. And so I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you a Jonathan Stormont story. So, don't tell him I told you this. But I remember the first time I met Jonathan is, I remember we were in the Harbin dorms, right? Third floor Harbin. That's where they put all the athletes. I was a football player, and we were all up there. And I remember one evening, I'm hearing some loud noises. Oh, right? Like people have been wrestling. And then I turn on my lights, and I notice there's some water coming underneath my door, right? And I'm like, what is going on? And so I walk out into the hallway, and the guys had turned the hallway into slip and slide, right? They have flooded the hallways, right? And they're going face first down the middle of the hallway. So I open my door, and a guy pops up in front of me, and he's like, dude, you need to join us. And he has some goggles on, and I was like, what are you? And that was your preacher, you guys. He was doing that type of stuff, right? So, and I have plenty of stories, so see me after church today, baby, and I can fill you in. But Jonathan has always been a good friend to me. I remember when he and Leslie met, and we were in the same Bible classes, and I've always admired him, and I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. I never thought in a million years I would become a college professor, right? And the reason is I wasn't the greatest student by any means, right? And so school was a challenge for me. I used to skip class often and hang out in the student center with the rest of the football players, right? I wouldn't do my homework. I was the football player that used to sit in the back row and not pay attention. But then I met this beautiful, super hot lady, right? And she happens to be here today. I met Mary, and Mary was a 4.0 her entire academic career, from kindergarten all the way to her doctorate, right?
Wow.
And she said, if you want to date me, you got to get right, right? And she said, if you want to date me, you're going to have to hang out with me in the library, right? And so that's what I started doing. And Mary graduated magnum cum laude from Harding University. And I graduated, thank you, lovely, from but God has a way of taking the unqualified and making them qualified. So through my amazing wife, I had been able to get serious about my schoolwork and all of that good stuff. And now I'm a professor at Harding University. And I'm not really an academic. I'm more of a practitioner. So I had to buy some glasses to at least look the part. But I'm so thankful for what I get to do. When I got accepted to Vanderbilt Divinity, I thought they had made a mistake. But God has a way of taking the unqualified and making them qualified. I've also been in the Army for 24 years, and I get to serve as a chaplain, which is really neat. And I just want to serve wherever the Lord calls me to serve. And I think in order to accept that posture and to be able to do that, you have to stay with an attitude of gratitude. That's the only way to navigate this life. Because this life is a hot mess, like my grandma used to say, right? And in order to navigate this space, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So we're going to be studying various passages on Thanksgiving and how we can improve in this area, right? So many of us, I think, probably have advanced degrees in the subject of complaining. You ever met someone like that? Don't look at your spouse, but if you've ever, you ever met someone like that, that can find any and everything to complain about. They are subject matter experts in pointing out everything that is wrong. You know, my wife said, Jason, you have a PhD in it, right? Like this season is one of those seasons where we can become really critical and complain and all of that good stuff. But we've got to be careful. So, recently, my wife and I went to the Bahamas. We got on a cruise and went to the Bahamas, right? And the entire time, I thought I had the right attitude, but the entire time, I guess I wasn't in the right space, right? Because I spent a lot of money. So, we get onto this cruise ship, and the first thing I notice is that the lines are too long. And I had to let Mary know, you know, the lines are really long, right? We get into our room, and I say, the room is too small, right? I lay on the bed is too hard, right?
All right.
And then we go out and we're on the deck and I say, boy, it sure is rocky out here, right? Well. And then we get to the Bahamas and I step out on the sand. I said, boy, this sand is really hot, right?
Okay.
And Mary said, Jason, do you realize you've been complaining the entire time we've been on this trip? And she said, if you keep it up, you're not making it back.
Uh-oh. Hey now.
You know, if we're not careful, we can find any and everything to complain about. And today, I think we find ourselves culturally in a season where it's easier to complain than to live with gratitude. We complain about COVID and the vaccines and wearing masks and race relations and the economy and politics. And as Christians, if we continue to dwell on these things, our lives will be filled with trouble and hardship. And I don't know about you, I've met some Christians that walk around sour all the time. Right? Look like you've been raised off of pickle juice your entire life. What is the problem? God is good. You know Jesus, don't you? All right? And so, if we can learn to give thanks, we'll be able to live victoriously in the midst of any challenges or difficulties we face, because we all have problems. Amen. Right. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I would invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to look real quickly at a story where I think someone almost made a mistake and nearly missed their healing because they had a complaining spirit. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, you guys know the story well. It's the story of Naaman, right? So the scripture says there was a valiant soldier, and his name was Naaman, but he had a problem, and the problem that he had was that he had leprosy, he had a skin disease, right? So this guy, I want you to think about it. If you translate this story to 2022, I like to think of Naaman as a special forces officer, right?
Okay.
Maybe he's a ranger, 75th Ranger Regiment, right? And on top of that, he's got some rank because he's a commander. So Naaman can walk around and keep his chest out a bit because of who he is. As a matter of fact, in the military, if a general officer steps into a room, or an officer, the people in there are supposed to call at ease, or attention, and you stand up, and the general walks in, and all eyes are on him. This is what happened to Naaman when he would walk into rooms. But he was self-conscious because he had this issue that he couldn't deal with on his own. They're like, there's Naaman. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes, right? So he needed some help. So eventually, Elisha shows up at Naaman's house. And Elisha says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over to the Jordan and go wash yourself seven times. Dip yourself seven times.
Yeah.
Now, Naaman almost missed out on this blessing. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He said, wait a minute. You're a prophet of God. Surely you could have come out and just waved your hand or snapped your finger, but you want me. to go dip myself into this dirty Jordan River, not once, not twice, but seven times, right? And eventually he's convinced to go and do it. But he nearly missed his chance at healing because of this complaining spirit and this lack of gratitude. He should have been thankful that Elisha even showed up, right? He should have said, thank you for even showing up, and thank you for showing me what I need to do, but he was too busy living without gratitude. And so, if we live without gratitude, we can miss our healing. And I don't know about you, I need to be healed.
All right.
So the Bible is very clear on this text, and I think there's some material available that I have read through research that says that the healthiest emotion a person can have is an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude makes you feel better. It makes you live longer. It's a stress reliever. It's been scientifically proven that if you are a grateful person, then you will live happier and healthier. And so the attitude of gratitude is important for several reasons. So if you're taking notes, maybe you write this down. Thankfulness acknowledges that God is our provider, right? So everything that you have, every good gift that you have has come from God. And we should never, ever forget that, right? Too often we look at other people and we look at our lives and we say we don't have what we need. God has given you everything you need. He is our provider, right? And because he has provided for us, we ought to say thank you. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Today is a blessing if you woke up and you have breath in your lungs. Amen?
Yes,
if you were able to open a cupboard and you see some Cheerios in there, you better thank God for them Cheerios, right? Right? Yeah, if you had a car to get into and a bed to sleep in, you are blessed. And all of that comes from God, right?
All right.
We ought to be thankful. Number two, thankfulness prevents a complaining spirit, right? It's really easy to complain, especially when you're going through hard times. But when you learn to change your brain, right, and stop looking at your problems in a negative light, but look at them as a season of growth and learning, man, we can learn some things. Number three, thankfulness creates a positive outlook on life. And number four, thankfulness invites joy to dwell in our hearts. And that's why we express appreciation.
Okay.
And I really like that word. Have you ever thought about what the word appreciation means? The reason for expressing appreciation is actually found in the meaning of the word. The word appreciation literally means to raise in value. So when something appreciates, it raises in value. So if you bought a home in Little Rock 15 to 20 years ago, you know the meaning of appreciation. Or maybe not. Likewise, if you bought some cryptocurrencies, you know the meaning of depreciation, right? Or if you ever bought a new car, the moment you drove it off the lot, it starts depreciating, right? So when we appreciate, it means to raise in value. That's not only true of things, but it's true of people. When you appreciate people, you raise their value, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we do as a church. We come together collectively to say, I appreciate you. I thank you, right? And that raises people's value. Literally raise their value. We ought to appreciate people because it increases self-worth and it increases their value. So, you guys know the text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. We have these directives from God, and the scripture is very clear. God wants us to be appreciative. He wants us to have a continuous thanksgiving attitude. And the text says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. He wants us to have continuous thanksgiving. Notice in the text, It says this is God's will for you. Then in Colossians 2, 7, I don't have that up here, but it says, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving. That means when I am in your presence, I should feel good, right?
All right.
But have you ever been around some people that you don't want to be around? A dark cloud, right? Yeah. So I never read in the Bible where God says, go ahead and complain. Go ahead and complain. In fact, he says, do all things without murmuring or what? Complaining. I used to hate that verse as a child. Because Satan wants us to be people that complain and complain often. Because if he can get into our heads, he can affect our actions. So one of the things that we learn in the army is something that I just want to keep with you. And I want you to practice this week. So in the army, from time to time, we're out in the woods. We call it field training exercises. And one of the statements we say, if it ain't raining, we ain't training, right? And what we mean by that is whenever we're doing military operations, it always seems to rain. We're in the middle of the woods. It could be a bright, sunny day. All of a sudden, it starts raining, right? And then it gets cold. And then you're wet. And then you're hungry. And then you're sleepy and tired. But in the army, you can't show that you're hungry, cold, sleepy, tired. So when a commanding officer comes up to you and he says, how you doing, soldier? And you're going like this. You know what your response should be? I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream, baby.
Yeah.
I'm living the dream, right? And what my mom used to tell me, that's fake it until you make it, right? You heard that one before? Fake it till you make it, right? So we've got to learn how to switch our mindset. Instead of looking at everything that's wrong in the world and bad and what's going on wrong in our lives, let's change our mentality and say, I'm living the dream, right? Living the dream. Because here's what happens when people aren't thankful. We find it in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. The text says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. If we live in a perpetual state of being negative and complaining, that does change some things in our brains. And then those thoughts start to manifest in poor behaviors, right? Yeah. And it reminds me of the children of Israel. Remember the children of Israel, Exodus? God freed them from slavery. Then they always seemed to complain about God's provisions for them. God would say, I'm about to take you out. And they would say, oh, forgive me. Then they would repent. And then they would start complaining all over again. How often are we like them? How often have we been like them as of late? So if we continue to live without gratitude, our thinking becomes futile. Is what the text says, which means we're incapable of producing any results or we're hopeless. And this way of thinking darkens our hearts and our outlook on life, and we view other people through very critical lenses, and we become very short with people, and we become foolish in our actions. I saw this take place the other day. I was at one of my favorite restaurants, Slim Chickens.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all have Slim Chickens here, but I was heading to Slim Chickens. And there was a little bit of a line going into the driveway. And I noticed there was this big truck behind me, right? I think it was an F-250 or something like that. And I guess I'm driving too slow. And the guy in the big truck starts revving his gas. And I was thinking, it's not worth all that, you know, it's not worth all of that, right? So, you know, I kind of look and I'm waving. I shouldn't have done all that. But anyway, I could tell. He was being impatient, right? And then he starts honking his horn. Beep, beep, beep. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, man, relax, calm down. He was getting flustered and angry, right? And then what he does is he swerves around me, takes his hand off the steering wheel, and gives me two fingers. And it wasn't these. Right? But after he does that, I'm watching him. He gets too close to the curb. And drives up on the curb and pops both his tires, baby. Both of them. Oh, that's so unfortunate. It's terrible. happens when we don't have gratitude. We're not patient. We get impatient and we hurt ourselves and hurt other people. So God expects us to thank him for what he has done. And we have a text in Luke chapter 17. It's a story of another leper, or 10 lepers. And it's Luke 17, verses 15 through 17. You guys know the text.
Okay.
So there was a group of lepers that were living in community with one another. They had a problem. They weren't able to come be a part of the community because of this disease. They hear Jesus is in town, so they shout out to Jesus, "Lord, can you make us clean? Lord, can you help us?" And Jesus says, "I'll take care of you. I got you. So what I want you to do is I want you to go and show yourself to the priest." So as they're going to see the priest, they are healed. Do you remember there was only one person to come back to say thank you?
Right.
Only one. And Jesus uses a term to describe this one, and he calls him a foreigner, Greek, allogenes or allogenes. He's a foreigner. He's the only one to come back and to say thank you. And what I get from this text is that we're not really good at saying thank you to God as much as we should. Only 1%, right? 10% in this text. Only a few people are willing to look at their lives, count their blessings, and say on a daily basis, "God, thank you." And we should be those people. So thankfulness shows forth our faith in Christ. Show me a person that complains often, and I'll show you a person who doesn't have much faith in the Lord. Let me say that one more time. Show me a person that complains often, and I'll show you a person who doesn't have much faith in the Lord. So, we were in New Hampshire not too long ago, and my wife's grandmother is 92 years old, and her name is Grandmama, right? And so we would go home and visit Grandmama, and I would sit with Grandmama, and I'd say, "Grandmama, how you feeling?" And she would say, 92 is the new 82, baby, right? And she, Grandmama, and she's going outside. She still drives. She goes to the grocery store. Yeah, she does all kind of stuff. And she is in good shape, doing well, right? Sharp. And I say, "Grandmama, what's the key to living that long?" She said, "Just be happy. Be thankful.
Okay.
Have gratitude in your heart." And what she would say often is, "If you got two arms and two legs, you're blessed," right? And as I think more and more about that, that is so true. Grandmama says, "Don't tell me what's wrong in your life. Tell me what's right in your life," right? And that is so profound and important. So I want to look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10 and tell you one of the greatest gifts that a person could ever receive is the salvation of their souls. Right? Jesus is an amazing gift. And this is what we celebrate during this Advent season. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So a life with Jesus Christ should cause joy in our lives. And that's what you do when you come to church and we participate in worship. We're really saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." But oftentimes we make worship about us and what we can get out of it. But the Father gave us Jesus, and it's the greatest gift you can ever receive. I want you to take a moment to think about this. And I wish we had the time. I would really get into it. What was your favorite Christmas gift that you received? You remember? Do you remember what your favorite Christmas gift was that you got when you were a kid? I'm going to tell you mine real quick. This is free of charge. When I was younger, my family didn't have much money. And in middle school, it was really all about your appearance, in particular, your shoes, right? And since my parents didn't have a lot of money, we would have to shop at this place called Payless. Any Payless kids in here, or is it just me? Okay, yeah, you know Payless,
amen,
right? And they had this brand called the Pro Wings.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know about Pro Wings.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, we used to get the Pro Wings, right? And I remember wearing those Pro Wings to school, and the only thing that I ever wanted as a young man was a pair of Jordans. Oh, man. A pair of Jordans. So one Christmas, I'm under the tree, and I take out the box, and I open it up, and it's the Jordans. It's the Jordans.
All right.
And I say, "Thank you, Dad." And I start crying. I take those Jordans out. and I sleep with him that night. Right? I put newspaper inside the front so it wouldn't get scrunched, right? I used to wear those Jordans every single day, and I kept a toothbrush in my back pocket.
Okay.
Just in case something happened and I had to real quick, right? That's how much I love these shoes, right? I used to put them on a stand and put them in their own box. And I just love that gift so much that I, in a lot of ways, kind of worshiped that, right? Because I was so thankful for it. So when you get a gift that you really appreciate, you naturally put it on a pedestal, right? And I want to let you know that the greatest gift you can ever receive is the salvation of your souls.
Okay.
And that's why Jesus came, and this is what we celebrate during Advent. Last text for this morning is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And I'm here to let you know that when you say thank you, when you live in gratitude and appreciation, what you're really doing is claiming your inheritance. The Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have received the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And when you cling to Jesus, you're accepting that gift. When you say thank you, you live in appreciation, you're claiming your inheritance. I believe with all of my heart, God has gifts that he wants to give us, but he won't give them to us because of our lack of gratitude and thankfulness. And I think a great example of this is when I was living in Southern California, I was preaching at a church in Orange County right next to Anaheim. And if you know anything about Anaheim, there's a place that people love to go in Anaheim. It's called Disneyland, right?
Okay.
So when my kids were younger, I have an adult child, she's 18 now, another 16. We used to always drive home and we would pass Disneyland on the 405 and the 5. And every day we would drive by, our kids would say, Dad, we want to go to Disneyland. We want to go to Disneyland. And you know a family of four going to Disneyland, you almost need to take out a loan. That's how expensive it is, right? Like Disneyland, boy, right? So I would always tell my girls, eventually we're going to go there. Eventually we're going to get there. Dad needs to save up some money. Fast forward a year or two. I remember I was sitting in my man cave, and I was complaining because I was watching the Raiders. But anyway, that's a whole different if you know football, you know why I was complaining. But anyway, I'm in there, and my daughter shows up, and she's about 7 or 8. She sits on my lap. She says, Dad, I just want to let you know, you sure do look handsome today.
Uh-oh.
I said, I said, I do? She said, yes, Daddy. I said, oh, okay, all right. And then she gives me a kiss on the cheek, and she says, Daddy, I just want to say thank you. I said, thank you for what? She said, I just want to say thank you because I know you're going to take us to Disneyland tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what I did the next day?
Yes,
I took them to Disneyland. I couldn't help it, right? And I think that's how God functions with us. When we live in gratitude and thankfulness, God will open up the floodgates to really, really bless your lives in powerful and tremendous ways. And now that my daughters are older, they got me wrapped around their finger. The other day, Layla came in and said, Dad, you sure are handsome. I said, how much? And I think that's what God wants from us, to live in gratitude. And when we live in gratitude, I think he will work a mighty work in our lives. So as we close this morning, I usually end with this slide, and it's a slide that says, great sermon, now what? If that's not what you're thinking, keep it to yourself. Great sermon, now what? I'm a teacher, right? And whenever we talk, I usually give, in my lectures, homework assignments. I want to give you a homework assignment, okay? Because a lot of times we come and we listen to sermons and we're like, oh, that was really good. And then you go out to eat and you're like, what was the sermon about? Can't really remember, but it was good. So I want to give you something practical. And if you're willing to do this right now, that'd be great. What can I practice this week? How can I learn to be more gracious and have gratitude? Here's what I want you to do. If you have a pen or a piece of paper right now, or your iPhone or your tablet, your phone, or if you just want to keep this in your brain, that's fine. I want you to write down 3 things that you are thankful for in your life right now. What are three things that you are thankful for in your life right now? And keep those with you, right? What are you thankful for? There's a lot to be thankful for. Three things. And here's the second thing that I want you to do. And this gets a little bit more challenging. I want you to consider what you've been complaining about the most over the past week or so. What is it? Everybody has something. What have you been complaining about the most as of late, right? And as you consider that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to commit right now. I want you to commit right now to stop complaining about that thing. Can you do that? Some of you are like, God wants us to live in gratitude. And when you think about your life and you think about the challenges that we all face, nothing compares to what Jesus had to go through on our behalf, right? God is so good, and he gave us Jesus to be able to navigate this life. You have to take joy. So at a minimum, if life is going horrible for you, you should be saying to yourself, I know Jesus.
All right.
So it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And I'm choosing to live in gratitude. Final story. There was a senior lady who was diagnosed with cancer. And she is on palliative care in the hospital. She's in a really bad spot. She's aching because of the treatment and in pain. And so she calls her preacher to come and provide some care for her. So the preacher shows up and he's sitting down next to her at her bedside and he is ministering to her. But as he's talking to her, he notices a jar of peanuts. And as he's talking to the lady, he's eating the peanuts while he's talking to her. And she's watching the whole time. Eating away. You know, preachers, we like to eat. He's eating the peanuts. And then he looks at her and says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I just ate all your peanuts in your dish. She said, that's all right, preacher. I licked the chocolate off of all of them. So it's all right. So in that moment of pain and distress, she was able to find something to be thankful for. And for her, it was her humor, right? And that changed the whole outlook on her situation. And it's just something to think about. We need to find spaces, even in pain, to be grateful and find something to smile about every once in a while. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for life today, and we thank you for the ultimate gift of Jesus. And sometimes we acknowledge, Lord, that we aren't grateful enough because we all have problems and situations that we go through. And we just want to say right now, Lord, please forgive us of our complaining spirits. Please forgive us for the times where we forget to count our blessings. And I pray, Lord, that at this moment you would help us to change our minds and be dedicated to living in gratitude. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, knowing he is the ultimate gift. We pray that you would help us to become more like him every single day and forgive us when we fall short. And we pray this prayer in the mighty name of King Jesus. Let us all say amen. Thank you.